Gemini.
Amen.
Thank God I'm clean today.
Yeah.
You know, thank God I'm clean today, and thank God for this program and this process to be called Narcotics Anonymous, man. You know, I want to thank and I want to congratulate all addicts for staying clean a day at a time. You know, I got a sponsor, but it takes a fellowship for an addict to recover.
Yeah.
It takes a fellowship for an addict to recover. You know, so we all interact with each other. You know, let's thank the spiritually high in the sky. Yeah. Let's thank the convention committee for their dedication. Right? For their dedication. It takes a lot of work to put these things on, man. You know, I'm the programming chair for the convention in our area, and now I see the work that it takes. You know, it takes participation, dedication, cooperation. Because I know everything to do for this thing to come off. But it's a wee thing. It's a wee thing, you know. So let's get started. But, you know, this is about a spiritual thing. So, you know, and they told me, like, early in the beginning, that hugs help us grow spiritually. So what we're going to do is we're going to get out of our spiritual, like, comfortability. Because, you know, usually I sit around people I have a spiritual affinity for, you know, a social affinity for. We're going to hug somebody around us that we don't really know. Let's get up and let's hug somebody. Yeah. Vital for me in this recovery process. It's real vital for me in this recovery process because I got a disease that always tells me you can't do it. You know, that's why after y'all introduced me to a power greater than, you're going to be a higher power. That power to help elevate me over all of those negative things to keep telling me that I can't do this, that we can't deliver this message. So I'm going to call on my higher power to just show up and show out, man. You know, I got to do that for me because I need that conscious contact because I don't think I'm doing this. You know. And then when the pain show up, I remember I'm powerless, that I really need you. Right? And then I want to ask the ultimate authority, because we have an ultimate authority. And that's our collective creative principle. That's all us we like together. I want to ask the authority that it be an uplifting spiritual message for all of us. Because we all come to a spiritual table to eat, man.
Yeah.
To feast. Because we need to take this nourishment back to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the world. Because the literature says, I can't keep it. Unless I give it to somebody. Unless we give it away. Let's get busy. I'm an addict. I used for a long time. Just used for a long time. I thought that's what everybody did. Use. But you know, like I go to a lot of meetings and I heard an addict say that, like, I was an addict like a long time before I picked up some drugs. Long time before I picked up some drugs. Because as a kid, like, I get on my tricycle and run down the block with other kids. And they didn't want to play the way I wanted to play. Excuse me, I'll see y'all later. I'm going back to my yard. I play by myself. I isolated a long time before I knew what the word isolation was. So I'm comfortable with like being with me. Yeah. I isolated a long time before like I started using. So by the time I'm using it, it was easy to isolate. And one of the things I heard in meetings, right? Because they told me to make meetings, but don't just make the meeting count. See, I got to participate in my recovery. See, because I can sit in a room with a couple of hundred people and isolate. I remember early in my recovery, so thank God for the predecessors. They told me, we ain't scared of you, we going to hug you anyway. And I was so grateful that they hugged me anyway, because that's all I really wanted. I just didn't know how to ask for it. I didn't know how to ask for it. You know, but, you know, as an addict, long before I picked up drugs, because, like, as a kid, I'd isolate. You didn't do what I wanted. And I always had an attitude. Yeah, what? Negative attitude. And I can't ever remember, like, as a child, like, liking me. I never really remember, like, being comfortable in my own skin. You know, like, I wish your mom's was my mom. You had more fun at your house at Christmas time than I did. Your dad loves you more. So everybody else's was better. Right? So by the time I get, like, about 12, because in my household, we never was taught to, like, talk about how we feel. Express yourself. What? Shut up. Go in the room. Shut up. Go in the room. So I never was taught that my feelings are important. Because I use over my feelings. That's why I use over my feelings. But I wasn't taught to express my feelings until I got in here. You know, said, talk about how you feel. First got there, they said, talk about how you feel. They said three things. Talk about how you feel, what you're thinking, and do you want to use? Do you want to use? And I was grateful that in the area that I got clean, because I got clean in New York City, they didn't care if you used the Narcotics Anonymous modality. The Narcotics Anonymous language. They just wanted you to talk about what was going on, because as you stay in the process, like, you learn to talk the Narcotics Anonymous language. I don't walk in the first day and be talking about a day at a time, I'll stay clean. I learned this. You know, it's funny, like, I was with a person and they talked about how, like a baby. Like, you don't really teach the baby how to talk. The baby just hangs out with you long enough and starts saying, Dada. Mama. What do you think we're learning here? We're not force-fed. It's the same learning process. Because, and they say, like, when I start using, I'm a child. I started using at 12 years old. I stopped using, I was 42. Mentally, emotionally, I'm a 12-year-old child. I never emotionally matured. Then watch a child. Don't give it what it wants. What do I do when I don't get what I want? Same thing. It's a pathological disease. It's got patterns to it. Until I grow spiritually enough to, like, break the pattern. Until I do the work that allows me to reach another spiritual level of development, I'll stay right where I'm at. Groundhog Day. Hello? Yeah. Over and over and over and over. Yeah. So I, you know, the disease of addiction was live before I even picked up the first one. Because by the time I get to like 12 or 13 years old, like, I'm looking for relief, man. I'm looking for relief. You know, like, I tell you, I played in my yard by myself and all of that stuff. So, like, I get 12 or 13 and I get some hormones. Woo-hoo! The female start looking kind of good. Hi! I want to holler, but I don't know how to holler. I haven't developed social skills. I don't know how to say I like you. I just told you I wasn't taught to talk about how I feel. Mm-hmm. So how do I tell you I like you? How do I tell you that I like you? How do I have any type of social skills that'll give us a harmonious interaction between us? Now check it out. Check it out at 42. When I stop using, I'm still emotionally at the level of a child. So I'm still struggling with relationships. Social and otherwise. And then I've come to find out one of the symptoms of the disease of addiction is antisocial behavior. So why do we treat each other like that? We come in here, we say we suffer from the disease of addiction. One of the symptoms of the disease is antisocial behavior. That's why when I come in, hey, I'm loving everybody. Next day I come in, please don't talk to me. What? Hello? No! All you're seeing is the disease alive in me. Doesn't mean I'm not striving to work a program. Just means I'm experiencing life. I still got work to do. It's not finished. You know, it's not finished. I'm a work in progress. That's what we all are. That's why we need to be more tolerant with each other. That's a spiritual principle. It's a spiritual principle. You gotta be tolerant. Check it out. I want you to be tolerant with me. Guess what I need to do? Guess what we need to do? We need to be tolerant with each other. Some days I'm up and some days I'm not so up. Some days I need that love. That's why I come to meetings. That's what kind of means. Okay, so like I'm 12, 13, the hormones start showing up, and, you know, like I hang out with other people like just like me. You know, certain people I got social affinity for, people just like me. So I go to the party with a couple of cats, and like, we wallflowers. Everybody else is partying and stuff, but we on, you know. So for some reason, I don't even really understand what, but we went, I remember we left the party, and we went and got us something to drink. 12, 13. I remember we were so young, we had to, you know, we waited outside for somebody else to go inside to get it for us. You know, and it wasn't even really funny, but I noticed it. Right there, like 12, 13. The person who went inside to get it for us, see, he needed a couple of coins to get his. So the disease of addiction had already showed up, like real nasty, on that person. And I remember seeing that. So we got what we wanted, and we drag it on the way back to the party, and all of a sudden I got this warm, like, oh, baby, daddy's here now. What's up? Yeah. I thought that's what I was looking for, that sense of courage. That's what I thought I was looking, but the courage isn't outside of myself. That's why we do a fourth step. So I can tap in to that power and reach for some real courage. But I got some false courage, right? And for 30 years, like, I thought that was giving me courage. See? So, like, after, like, whew, let me see, the last 12 years, one day, all of a sudden, like, I took a hit of something and, like, I got paranoid. That's when the ugly, they say, like, the ugly side will show up. So if you use long enough, the ugly side shows up. So, like, everything that was giving me all of this courage, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, like, that's what happened. When the ugly side showed up. But it was already too late then. I'm already all in. Because it says it's progressive. You know, when it started out, it was just Friday night, Saturday night, on the way to the party. Then all of a sudden it got to me, and Sunday too. Then it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then after 30 years, it's like every day. It's like all day. It's not even like a social event amongst the people that I'm doing it with. It's a nasty ritualistic exercise. Nasty. And nasty things was happening. And they just got worse. People was dying in the spot. Then you give me a couple of something, so like if I take the body out. I don't even care. And I knew the person. Just, you know, just have mine when I get back. See, there's something, it ain't even funny, man. If you use long enough, there's a price you got to pay for using. See, that's what they didn't tell me in the beginning when I'm just, oh, this is a gateway. Just having fun. It's a funny thing that happened on the way to, like, this is just a gateway. I'm just having fun. Like, I stopped studying, man, because I was in school. I wasn't a genius, but I had decent grades. All of a sudden, I'm not studying no more. Cool people don't do that. Cool people mess up their lives. No, they don't. And nobody did this. This is what I did to myself. To myself. And it just got worse. And it says that it gets progressive. And it gets worse. And it gets worse. But then you're going to take a little bit of something, and everybody's happy. Like four of us is doing it. You know, one thing, everybody's happy. In the end, everybody got something for themselves, and ain't nobody happy. The progression. That's a garbage head. This, the way I socialize, because I tell you, I ain't got no social skills. The way I socialize. Whatever you got, socialize. What you got? Huh? Whatever you got, socialize. I'm a real life. If I'm hanging out, check it out. And then when I get to the fourth step, I find out I suffer from the better thans. So like if I'm hanging out with junkies that day, I'm shooting dope. But see, tomorrow I won't be hanging out with the junkies, I'll be hanging out with the pillheads. So when I'm with the pillheads, I'm looking down at the junkies. Because I'm not one of them. Mm-hmm. And then the next day I'm hanging with the people that drink cheap wine. And the day after that I'm hanging with somebody else. And I'm still looking at everybody down, you know. But in the meantime, like 40 years pass. And I'm in active addiction. But the disease has me in denial because I'm better off than you are. Denial. It means I don't even know I'm lying to myself. It's dangerous when you keep lying to yourself. Check it out, it's dangerous when I keep lying to myself. Because we got an obsessive disease, the obsession, the overall thought. And see, as long as I keep it going, my mind will close on it. And I'll believe it. I'll believe the lie. I'll believe the lie. So it was ugly. It was ugly. And I was homeless. I was homeless because, you know, I figured, oh, man, look at all this rent money. Guess what we can do with this? Woo! So after a while, the man said, yo, you don't want to pay me? See you later. I said, oh, sure. Well, now I don't have to pay. You know, but these aren't normal thoughts, but normal people. One of the things my sponsor says is this is short-circuited. Mm-hmm. You know, there's prices you got to pay. I remember, like, me and this girl had a baby, right? Like, there's 10 couples in the maternity ward that day. The other 9 couples took their baby home. When she was strong enough to get up and walk out, we walked out. We walked away. We were staying on the spot anyway. I ain't got no place. I ain't got no crib at home for the baby. And I ain't got no money I want to spend on Pampers. This is the price that I paid. But the other 9 couples, they weren't normal because they took their baby home. That's what my disease tell me. I'm all right. I got this. You know, it's interesting because they talk about the disease being cunning. That's its ability to deceive me. The deception happens in my own mind. Deception is the ability for my disease to have me thinking that something is true that it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. So in the middle of all of this denial for years and years and years and years, like one day I like ran into this young lady. You know, I had made a little money. Did me a little something to give me some dough. And I ran into this young lady. And I said, oh, shoot. I'm going to pull one of my episodes. Yo, what's up? She said, hey. So what happens really is that she was on her way somewhere. And I said, well, where you going? She said she's going to a meeting. And I remember me asking her, like, could I go? And I remember her looking at me like dead in the eyes, like, yeah, you can go. For real. That's how I got to y'all. That's how I got to, because I've always been in denial, yo. I never heard of a treatment center or therapeutic community and none of that stuff till I was already in the rooms. I'm a narcotics. I know this program works because I ain't never went nowhere. I came to meetings. And when I allowed y'all to give me the suggestions and I took them, and I allowed y'all to love me through like that irresistible time when I thought I had to use or die. Because every addict has to face that. And until I face that and get through it, I don't know that no matter what, I ain't got to use. That's why we have to encourage newcomers to talk about how they feel, because at some point they're going to want to use, man. It took me 18 months of bouncing in and out of this program, man. But you're telling me, like, in the beginning, because I'm dirty, I'm funky, right? And that first meeting, I remember y'all hugged me and told me to keep coming back. I'm like, what? Keep coming back, man. Only thing I really remember about that was y'all was real nice to me, man. That's why I came back. Y'all was nice to me. And that's why we badgered each other, man. I couldn't understand why you were being nice. I called it false, not real love, this false, you know. But I found out that it really was love. That unconditional love you'll be talking about. Because they talk about, you know, I heard a young lady say one day in a 12-step meeting that somebody's 12-step is somebody else's first step. That's how the process continues. That's how we pass it on. That's how we keep it, by giving it away. But I came to that first meeting, they had a speaker meeting, and the thing about the speaker, first thing he said is, have you ever spent all your money on drugs? Yo, man, who told him I was here? Somebody ratted on the tone, yo. How did he know? But check it out. It was total identification. Immediately. Because by that time, like in the last, I used for 30 years, my last 12 years, I'm smoking crack. So I'm used to spending all my money every day. And what I share, I'll be saying, you know, I always ask that question, have you ever spent all your money on drugs, especially that code H&I? And I say, like, but check it out. Because I start using the 12. I get to the Narcotics Anonymous at 42 years old. I didn't just spend all my money on drugs. I spent my life. Yeah. Who's an addict? I spent my life. Who's an addict? You understand? So I had total identification. So now, after I get this, like, I'm listening to what you got to say. If you don't pick it up. What? If you don't pick it up, you can't get out. I'm very intelligent. I couldn't think of that. It's that smart, right? It can't get out. See, we use another language in the spot. You got half, I got half. What you got? Well, we got a language in here. So this is a bridge back to life. We got a language in here. If you don't pick it up, you can't get out. The thing that I really bought into, the next thing he said was, if you don't use, your life can get better. I start crying, man, because I felt then that I was lost. For real. You know, I came in the room, you know, I'm swearing like I'm real cool and stuff, like I'm a bag of chips, and I handed y'all the bag, and y'all said, there's no chips in the bag, Tony. What are you, stupid? There's no chips in the bag, Tony. y'all talk about being spiritually bankrupt when you got it. I was empty. A shell of a person. A nothing. And then all my life, you know, I'm telling myself, you ain't nothing, you ain't nobody. So I'm feeling that way anyway. Then I get some encouragement. Y'all say, you can do this. What? You can do this. How we do it day at a time. We don't pick up. So just keep coming back. How did I learn how not to pick up? A day at a time. I came to meetings. That's the secret. Shh. I came to meetings. That's why I see other people recovering. That's why I see all those suggestions. You'll say make a meeting a day for 90 days. In New York, you count it off. Anybody who wanted 90 days want to get it? I got 45 days today. And we go, yay! I got 32 days today, yay! So I'm coming to meetings. I'm hearing people count the days off. So one day, you know, and I'm struggling with this, and I'm saying, maybe if I make 90 meetings in 90 days, maybe if I do that, I can stay clean. And I come to meetings and I see you talking to your sponsor. Maybe if I get a sponsor, this could happen for me too. So I had to come to meetings. Y'all say it's a process. It's a process. Process is a gradual change. Gradual. Sometimes slowly, sometimes woo. A gradual change towards a particular result. A particular result, I got clean a day at a time. I'm just grateful it took me 18 months, man. I know people are still bouncing in and out, man. But see, the love was every time I came in, they said, keep coming back. Y'all gonna say, but you didn't get it yet, stupid? You said, keep coming back. Because the third tradition talks about it's more compassionate to tell somebody to keep coming back over than being judgmental, man. See, my message will kill you. But God's message saves lives. The message of Narcotics Anonymous saves lives. How do I? Because it saved mine. Because it saved mine. That's our message. Any addict. Any, not one out of 345 people in the room. Let's say like three out of every. Any addict. You know why? That throws the ball back. And the individual was caught. It's a personal decision. Any addict, but it's all inclusive. Because I'm looking for ways to exclude myself from y'all. I'm looking for ways to say, you know, look at the similarities and not the differences. They used to tell us that. Because I'm looking for ways to exclude me, man. I want to be out. I want you to say, get out of here, because I don't want to. I've never been successful. I ain't never been in the winner's circle. I'm spending 30 years to say users don't win. And winners don't lose. So I've been standing in the loser circle for 30 years. I got a security in that, in being a loser. I'm scared to do something to put me in a winner's circle. It was the encouragement of the fellowship. It was the seeing y'all staying clean a day at a time that allowed me to say that, man, when I get this, whoo, when I get this, I'm gonna keep it. When I get it, I'm going to keep it. When I get it, I'm going to keep it. So I kept coming back. That's what. Just kept coming back. One day, you know, like, in them 18 months, one day I came to the meeting, says, yeah. I didn't know I was going to surrender that day. I didn't know. It says recovery happens in the meeting. This girl is sharing. She's almost finished. I ain't really paying her a whole bunch of attention. She says, if you don't believe you can stay clean, just believe that I believe that you can do it. I said, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try it. I came back the next day and I said, one day. And they start clapping. For one day, start clapping, man. I said, woo! I'm gonna add it. You know, if it feels good, smells good, tastes good, looks good, I want more. I couldn't wait to get back the second day to say, I got 2 days. Woo! I got 3 days. Woo! I got 4 days. Woo! see, after like 3,000 and some days, I can cheer. Now I got the ability to cheer for somebody else. But we keep coming. This is a process, man. It's a loving and caring process. We got to keep loving each other, man. If I ain't in the fight, I'll never get it. That's why we encourage people to keep coming back. One of the things I be hearing me, people say, well, if I ain't you, I ain't coming back. That's not what the literature says. It says get back as fast as you can. So I'm telling myself, forever, I'm going back as soon as I can. Because that's a reality for us. It's a reality for us. We don't have to. It's a conscious choice. It's a conscious choice. So we keep coming back. Day at a time. I just want to talk about these things a little bit. You know, first reading. Says who's an addict? Says who's an addict? Biggest word in that, who's an addict? No, it's is. Is. That's the biggest word in it. Is. That's the biggest word. Is. Why? It's present tense. Is means right now. I got almost 9.5 years clean. I is an addict right now. You're laughing. You better start to understand the disease of addiction, because I obsess and compulse over anything that smells good, looks good, tastes good, feels good. Oh, she look good. Hi. Woo! In the Living the Program pamphlet, one of the questions they give us is, what did you obsess and compulse over today? What did you obsess over today? Today. Because I got a disease. Check it out. The disease of addiction, it changes addresses on me. It changes addresses on me. Sure, I'm not obsessing to poking over drugs. But boy, she look good and I ain't heard nothing a little bit. Woo! Clothes, gambling, food. And I got a disease. Check it out. In the fifth edition, it talks about we don't come here for a social event, man. I'm here to save my life, man. I can get in a food obsession and kill myself. Hello? Hello? I can obsess over anything. You know, what the drugs did, it just exacerbated, right? It amplified my behavior. What I'll do to chase that feeling, man. Anything. No boundaries to chase that feeling. To chase that feeling. So what happens? I come in the rooms and it just gets more sophisticated and all. Yeah. I got some bills to pay, but you know, I gotta look good for the convention because I gotta get me some, you know. Hey! So instead of paying the bills, I'm gonna get the, you know, the outfit and go to the convention and spend a whole bunch of money. Then I get home and can't pay the light bill. Disease of addiction. Disease of addiction. You gotta pay attention. Because, like, you know, the thing is that the freedom. The freedom, I gotta understand the nature of this disease and how it attacks me in order to get free. The freedom means no restraints. The happy and the joyousness don't come until I do the things that allow me to be free. I gotta understand obsessing and compulsing over anything is what I'm powerless over. So I gotta pay attention. It says we keep this with vigilance. I gotta keep paying attention to what's going on in here. Because anything I obsess and compulse over long enough, I automatically, I'm going to do it. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. And it's rooted in low self-esteem and fear. Had a relationship break up. Oh God, now I can't get what I want. I can't keep what I have. Fear of the unknown, like what am I going to do now? You know, like I when I did a six step, like I had a whole smorgasbord of defects, right? About 48 of them. But you know what's really interesting is like I'm human. So any defect that a human being can like manifest the behavior of, I'm capable of. I'm just self-centered, so I say I've got these defects, but that's the illusion that my disease wants me to have anyway. Any defect, any character defect, a defect is a flaw. It's an emptiness in my spirit. It's those behaviors that block me from my greatest source of strength, from God. See, so any defect. And see, the thing is, I see you do in your defect, I'll be, oh. My sponsor said, you know, when I point the finger at you, like the me, myself, and I. I'm so easy to identify that defect in you because I've got it. But I told you I suffer from the better thans. Hello? The better thans. The better thans. You know, so, and that's what that fourth step and a fifth, that it helps me to start to shatter the illusion of what I'm living under. Fourth step is to be sought through the confusion. We do a searching and more of it because I'm searching through the confusion, man. I'm confused. Why you do that to? I don't know. I'm trying to get through the confusion. Because I suffer from low self-esteem, and I hide it behind arrogance. Yeah. Pompousness. But there's a scared little boy in here. They're still trying to grow up. They're still trying to grow up. They're still trying to grow up. That's why I have to keep coming back. Gotta keep coming back. You know, day at a time, gotta keep coming back. Who's an addict? The next one is, what is that? What is the program? We're a fellowship of men and women. We get together on a regular basis, help each other stay clean. It says, what does that thing say? It says, the question is, what is the Narcotics Anonymous program? It says, it's a set of principles. Excuse me? What is the Narcotics Anonymous program? So there's a set of principles written so simply that I can follow them in my daily lives. Maybe I better get with somebody that knows the principles that can guide me to the principles. How did Dorothy go home? She missed the balloon. It left with the wizard. How did she go home? She closed her eyes. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. Believe it. Check it out. Believe it. Honesty, open-mindedness. Check out the second step. Talk about going over with a minimum concern. Says I can't achieve ongoing recovery without a second step. A second step allows me to establish a belief. A positive belief. Because I've had problems all my life and never knew what to do with them. Yo, tell me that the steps is the solution. So the step process will help me get answers for what I need to do. Second step helps me to establish a positive belief system. Because if I don't believe I can stay clean, I won't take the necessary action to stay clean. And yep, it's no secret. What I got to do to stay clean? Make meetings, talk about how I feel. Don't pick up. Make meetings, talk about how I feel. Don't pick up. Then this is the process of coming to believe. When I get with my sponsors and we go to the process of coming to believe, I have them. Yeah, I ask them, like, how do you stay clean? Making meetings, talking to a sponsor, talking to other recovering addicts, helping somebody else stay clean, doing service work. Involved in a home group. It's an action. There's some things I have to do to stay clean. Just for the day, meditation says, yeah. As long as I follow this way, I got nothing to fear. As long as I follow this way. So I don't call my sponsor every day, but I call them regularly for me. Because it helps me check. It helps me check. Right? So second, I established that positive belief. I have to believe. Let's check it out. Ongoing recovery. Okay, I'm not using that. Got a problem with gambling. Or lust. Or eating. Until I go inside of me and say, do I believe that I can like overcome this? Till I tap into a higher power, the power that elevates me over this problem that I have, till I believe like I can tap into it and like it'll help me to do this, like I'm not going to put forth the action like to do it. So I got to establish a positive belief. That's new for me. That's new. Because, you know, as soon as I had a problem, like, I know how to get rid of this. I got to be honest. I'm answer the spot. Or I did some type of self-destructive activity to help make me believe like I ain't got this problem no more. And then when it starts working for me, I couldn't forget that I had the problem. I couldn't forget that I was homeless. I couldn't forget that like when I had money and I was hungry, like I wouldn't use the money to eat, yo. Because there was a time when I had money and this money's not for eating, Tony, are you stupid? People who care about themselves don't treat themselves like that. This is nothing that you inflicted on. This is what I inflicted on myself. That's one of the things that I love about the program, because you helped me to like learn how to like care about Tony. That's another thing about the second step. When I did the second step, it talked about when you use on a regular basis, like you're committing suicide. So if I'm using for 30 years, like I'm committing suicide. People that care about themselves do not spend all their time trying to kill themselves. So if I'm spending all of this time like killing me like this, it's an indication that there's something wrong inside. Inside. And they'll say it's an inside job. So I was devastated. I went to my sponsor, ran to my sponsor. I'm like, you're never recovering like by 9 months. I'm like, ooh, I don't like me. Ooh, I don't like me. He said, shoot, Tony, I hang out with you 24 hours a day. You might as well like you. What? Then he told me something to do. He said, look, like when you get up in the morning, go wash your face. He said, I want you to look in the mirror. And I want you to look in your eyes. And you tell yourself, I love you. And I was 42 years old, and I had never, ever told Tony that I love him. I was 42. You know the healing process that we do, that therapeutic value? Huh? But this comes from the step work. This comes from getting an intimate relationship with somebody that can guide you to the step work. That's how I learned how to care about me. I remember going to the first time I went to the mirror, I couldn't even look in the mirror. Now it's not a problem. I love you and I'll take care of you and I'm going to treat you good today. Still suffer from low self-esteem. Still do. You know, so it's important. It's important to do the work. First, you steps help us teach us how to, like, stay stop. Stop, stay stop. First step allows me to identify I got a problem. Because you got the problem. You stupid. Ain't nothing wrong with me. It says we admit it. I looked admit it. It meant to recognize. To acknowledge. I have to acknowledge who's an addict? Because I've been in a spot saying, wow, you smoke faster than I do, so you really bad. So why am I sitting on the Titanic with you? When the ship goes down, Tony's going down too. It don't care what you use, I'm still sitting on the Titanic. Man, we ain't using drugs. I'm excessively eating a whole lot of sweets or whatever. I get other stuff happening. Diabetes. Gout, over, what do they call it? High blood pressure, all of that stuff. It's still expressions of the disease of addiction. Because I'm doing excessively something too much. But the first three steps teach me how to stop. First one, it lets me to identify, because I don't want to tell you I got a problem, but I got a problem. I have to identify that there's a problem. Second one, I got to believe. I got to believe that I can overcome this problem. Third step, I put the action to it. Once I believe that belief, I put that belief into action. What I do, I found somebody that's got that, had that problem or don't have it as bad as I do. And I said,
What did you do?
Open-minded. What did you do? Open-mindedness. What did you do? Now I get some information. I get some guidance on what I need to do. Then I do it. First three sentences. That gives me a whole new approach to how I go about doing life now. Because I never knew how to deal with problems, man. Never knew how to deal with a problem. 4 through 9 is the process. I start itemizing what the problem is and admitting it. Then I start seeing, like, when I act out on this, what happens? How it tears my life apart and how it tears the people around me life apart. How my behavior effectuates other people. See, when I get to 8 and 9, I got to make amends to somebody else. But I have to go through the process, because before I went through the process, I wasn't feeling. You know, I want to say I'm sorry, but I'm not feeling you. I didn't understand. I didn't feel what I had done to my kid's mother. When she got pregnant, I just bounced. When she got pregnant, I bounced. Good addict, no more responsibility, bounce. See ya. But after doing the step work, when I get to 8, it says intentional or non-intentional harm is harm, man. Because I justify by saying, I didn't mean to do it. But it's done. And I got to be accountable. Come on. See, we get to be, we grow up through the process. Check it out. I heard somebody say that, like, I know, you know, like, I'll get old chronologically, but I grow up spiritually. See, as I apply these spiritual principles, that's what brings me through the a maturing process. I remember I couldn't wait. You know, when I had done it, now I couldn't wait when I had the opportunity to go to my kid's mother and say, I'm sorry, man. I said, I feel you. Because before that nasty show, but it started with 4. Because when I wrote down in 4 how she had misused me and treated me real bad and did all of this to me and my resentments, my sponsor said, okay, we got that. Now that we have that, we'll go back and we'll write down what was your behavior.
Excuse me? Your behavior, Tony, because that's what you're responsible for.
Oh, now I got to tell him that I'm cheating on her too. That I'm mentally and emotionally abusing her too. Yeah, that's what I don't really want to look at. See, so force that helped me to start to look at something I ain't never really want to look at. That's me, man. I never had the emotional and the mental stability to want to look at what the real problem was. That was me. That's what I used to hear when I first got to step meetings and y'all would start sharing honestly about what's going on with y'all. I heard y'all start talking about yourself. So the hope, I start to understand, I do these steps, I start to understand myself better. That's how we begin to grow. In the Greater Go book, it talks about a profound understanding. That's a deep, insightful understanding of what's going on with me. If I say one, point the finger at everybody else. Right? 10, 11, and 12 is the shot. 10, 11, and 12 is the shot. You know, this is a 12-step program. Not 3. It's a 12-step program. Excuse me. Program is a plan of action. 12 steps. 12. The last 3. Why they call them maintenance steps? 10, 11, 12. 10 is a combination of 4 through 9. 10 is what gave me, that made the promise come true. Because 10 taught me how to monitor my disease every day. Just get delivering the program pamphlet and ask those questions. Did you pray today? Did you help somebody else today? How did the disease run your life today? What are you obsessing compulsive with today? Did I have to make amends for my behavior today? Did I make the amends? It helps me monitor my disease right now. So 10 helps me to get right and stay spiritual viable with myself. Then 11 is the bomb. I had an argument with a friend of mine over 11. This little, you know, intellectual exchange. Because he was saying, hey, how can they be maintenance steps if 11 talks about improving? To maintain means to keep it the same. No. In order for me to maintain any type of spiritual viability, I have to keep improving. I got to keep getting better. That's why one of the things I say when I pray at night is like, can I be a better person today? Help me be a better person than I was today. See, because that's the only thing I have to monitor my development over is me. See, I always want to monitor it over to you got this and you got that. And I always fall short because your car is bigger than mine. Social acceptability. Your house is bigger than mine. You see the beginning along with your mate better than I do. Social acceptability doesn't even recover. This is an inside job. There's some things I have to work on inside. Inside. So 11 helps me to get right with the God of my understanding. Through improving a conscious contact. I got to keep improving it. One of the things my sponsor had me do when we got to 11, he said he had me hang out with God. Like I hang out with y'all, I hang out with God. I'm hanging out with God. How can I go around this way? How can I go around the hospital talking about, you know, I'm just looking. Wait a minute, hold up, God. Lay over there in the corner. I'm going around here to talk to Susie. See, one of the things I had to understand is every time I want to act out on something, I had to suspend my conscious contact with God. And every time I suspend it, here comes the pain. Oops. Here comes the pain. Oops. Here comes the pain. So 11 is about improving my conscious contact. Right? I need some mental stability. They say through prayer and meditation every day, the evidence that it's working is I get some emotional stability. One of the things we pray for at the beginning and the end of each meeting is the serenity prayer. I'm praying for inner peace. No matter what's going on externally, I'm in peace with myself. I'm all right inside. One of the definitions of fear is it says an agitated state of awareness. That means I'm not I'm not at peace with myself. Why are we praying for peace, serenity at the beginning, at the end of every meeting? Because that's what we're reaching for. No matter what you say to me, I still got to be at peace. I start learning that, you know, if you do me wrong and then I run back and I say something to you all nasty, I don't feel good. You know, my disease wants me to do that, but I don't feel good about that. And check it out. I don't feel good about myself because that's not the solution. See, I got to reach for the solution. And what I really need to reach for is God. Because if I find out what he'll do in that situation or I allow him to do what he wants to do, I'll be at peace. But letting go and letting God is a tall order. So we always got to keep, we never get to that level where I don't need to let go. I need to always relinquish my self-will, you know. This is important, man. You know, and 12 helps me to help somebody else, do some selfless service. You know, one of the ways I get out of myself is to help somebody else. This is a recipe for living, man. Why? Because I lived life precariously. I didn't have any idea of what we could do or what there was to do with life. Now I got some direction. You know, one thing that my sponsors got me doing now is because I had a real problem with a relationship, right? Now check it out. I you know, for years I had tried to stay out of, you know, an intimate relationship. Well, that's one of my fears, you know, fear of relationships, fear of love, fear of intimacy. So like, you know, about 2 years ago, I'm at a meeting, I'm shooting a game with this girl, and she's shooting. She said, "Hey, I like you." I said, "Shoot, I like you too." Ah, shucks. So now we're going to do this. What happens is I had a faulty belief system on relationships. Does that understand? Faulty belief system on relationships. But see, if I don't get to a place or experience some things that allow me to start to understand where I'm at, then how can I get you to help me to where I need to go? Like I call you, I say, "Yo, man, I wanna get over there to Asheville. Where you at?" I said, "Well, where you at, Tony?" I said, "Somewhere in South Carolina." can you help me to get where you are? So we don't really understand why people go through what they gotta go through, right? But and the first part of the process is awareness. I gotta become aware of where I'm at, what I need to do. And awareness, one of the things that happens, see, because we've been around a long time, right? I don't wear a whole lot of stuff. I wear it. The honesty helps me to be free. But I ain't honest every time I need to be honest. So awareness doesn't make me do better. That's one of the reasons why I got to keep coming. I got to keep working. I'm in process. And I'm working to get better. Because I ain't honest all the time. I ain't honest every time I need them, but I be aware that I'm lying. And then I understand that, you know, one of the reasons I lie is because I'm afraid that if I don't tell you this lie, you might not like me. I'm trying to lie to you so you know, like, you'll kind of like, have you like me. I can get it my way. But this is an awareness. See, we still got to do the spiritual work that allow me to be truthful. So the truth will set you free. That's one of the reasons, for real. Honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, and how it works. Wait a minute, let me get to that. It's still on this what the hell, you know what? Let me get back. 1 second. This says, why are we here? It says, before I came to the fellowship, I could not manage my life. I stayed in the shelter. I was lucky enough that I didn't really ever go to jail, so the corrections facility was managing my life, but the shelter managed it. I didn't manage it. I went to bed, they turned the lights out when they got ready to. Mature individuals that's productive, that take care of themselves, manage their lives. See, before coming here and hearing y'all talk about if I don't use, like my life could get better, I had no clue. Right? So why are we here? Inability to accept personal responsibility. Yo, you pay the rent. I'll hang out with you, but you pay the rent. And take care of my kids. Inability to accept personal responsibility. And I got around here with some, and not even just the men, the women. They taking care of the kids, man. And I got to remember that I had some too. When I started using crack, my daughter was 12 years old. When I got clean, she was grown. She was grown. But she still needed her father. I can't make up for all of that stuff, but we can have a better tomorrow. We can have a better right now. And that's because of y'all taking care and facilitate your responsibility. That's what helped me learn to facilitate mine. Because I asked you, what do you do with the kids? Because I don't know. They said, do the same thing we do in the meeting. Hug them. Let them feel you. Don't try to be their father, but just be their friend. Then we'll get to the other part. You know, and then, like now, look, with the nice stuff, I remember telling my daughter I was sorry and stuff. I thought we had, you know, we cleared the air and stuff. About a year later, she flips on me. I said, how come you ain't call me? If you want to talk to me, then you call me. What? I don't talk to my father like that. I got with some other recovering addicts, they said, well, your father didn't do to you what you did to her. Let's bring it home. Yeah. Yeah. But then, the sweetness of it. Check it out. You don't know where the message is coming from. She lives in Maryland, right? She got a friend that's got parents that have been trying to get clean for a long time. And she happens to mention her father got like 9 years clean. The girl said, what? Child, you know what you got? So. But she started explaining the disease of addiction to her because she was in the house and she saw it. My daughter never really seen me because I told you I bounced when she was pregnant with her. So after that, she starts to understand. Right? So now, she calls me, man. She calls me and she says, well, I need to talk to you. Because I remember when I'm 5 years old and all I want my daddy to do is call, man. And you ain't called. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with me? See, it's like, just like I did the steps because I got, it's like she did a fifth step with me, man. And she was able to free herself. But check out what that means. See, in 9, it wasn't about just saying, I'm sorry. So every day, like when I did the work and after I get my truck and we get ready to go out on the road, I call. Hi, baby, how are you this morning? I'm calling every day. I make just like I make a conscious contact with God, I'm making a conscious contact with my daughter. And I'm allowing her to know that she got a loving father in her life. That's how we work this program. Live in the program. Check it out, this Thanksgiving. Her and her sister, we sat down with her mother and we had dinner, first time ever. Oldest daughter was 29, almost 24. We had never sat down and had dinner together. Never. It said beyond your wildest dreams. I never dreamed about sitting down. Just being a family. Came from nothing. So a day at a time, you just keep coming, man. Just lost dreams awaken and new possibilities. If I had put my order in, I'd have sure changed me because I don't know what to really want anyway. And everything, and I see now from everything I really want, it'll kill me. Everything that I think is fun will kill me. But as I work the process and I see like if I start to, if I just am, just cooperate a little bit with that power greater than me, if I just cooperated a little bit more with the God of my understanding, life would be wonderful. And I'm convinced he still loves me. Won't do nothing, he said. It still loves me. Well, the madness still get blessed. We on the way up here yesterday, right? We going down the highway, comes the car just stops. Vroom. Middle of the highway, the car just stops. Vroom. For no reason. Car's not working fine. Stops in the middle of the highway. 2 seconds later, the thing pulls up. What that? The truck? And pulls us over to the side. He says, I want the money. And he drives off, man. For real. 5 minutes later, we turn the car on and it starts and we make it right here. See, but I know like with me, until I got some stress going on or some real pain, I don't reach for God because I think I run things. See, until the pain really shows up, I'm running the show. When I did a first step, I admitted I was powerless. I got a built-in forgetter, yo. As soon as things start going a little bit good, I think I'm mine again. Through the pain, man. Yeah, that helps us to change, because we got to keep changing. Why do I got to go through so much pain in order just to change? You know, you told me the stove was hot. I seen you touch it and go like that. Then I go over there and stick my head on the stove. It's not that hot. It isn't as hot as it was when she was touching it. And sizzling. And I still won't remove it. Thank God for other recovery. That is stupid. Take your hand up. 3 degree burns. Oh my God. Only through the pain. So why is we learn from other people's mistakes? Other people's mistakes. You know, but it's, I got a disease in here that just tells me.
You're all right. Ain't gonna happen to you. You're different. You're unique. First tradition says we got more things in common than we do differences. More things in common than we do differences. Everybody in here is breathing. We got something in common. Then the fellowship says we're a fellowship of men and women. Get together on a regular basis. Fellowship, society. That's a group of people bonded together with the same common goal. To stay clean a day at a time. Our common welfare, what's good for all addicts to do, stay clean a day at a time. Don't pick up, no matter what. 9 years later, I still have to get that support from y'all. I'm going through something, I just come to a meeting and I see y'all smiling, man. They ain't doing it, so I'm not going to do it. I see y'all smiling, I see y'all loving each other. I see y'all enjoying life. That's the example. That's why I got to keep coming. The message is still in me. My message to any addict is stop using, lose the desire to use. Find a new way to live. A new way to live. That's what the quest is, the new way to live. All the defects keep me from that new way to live. Keep blocking me from God. I'm grateful to be here, I'm grateful to be clean with y'all, man. We gotta keep loving each other. And we have to understand the disease of addiction, man. You know, it says cutting, baffling, and insidious. The cutting part means that it puzzles me. It wants me to be confused. The antidote for confusion is information. Read the book. It's information. Read the book. It's information. Basic text. Information. It works out right. Information. I got a disease. One of the aspects of the disease is it's baffling. It wants me to be confused. Don't read the literature. I got to come and read the literature. It's helping me out of the dilemma. What do you mean you don't read the book? You should read the book. The information is in there. Insidious. Inconspicuously harmful. That means it's telling me that you were all right, and I ain't. How you doing, Tom? I'm all right. No, you ain't. Just say, get honest. This is our hardest challenge. After being clean for this, to get honest. Where I am today. Today. Insidious. Insidious. Walking down the street, I know the spots on the block. I ain't going to the spot, though. How did I end up in it? Inconspicuously harmful. Still, today. How come I end up? Oh, we're not having a relationship no more, but, you know, I'm just talking to that person. Oh, how did we have all that sex last night? We were just talking. Hello? We have to understand the disease, and it says, like I just said, is who is an addict right now? Right now, I ain't graduated. I cut the grass in my house last week. When I go home, I gotta cut it again. If I don't cut the grass, the weeds will grow again. If I don't keep making meetings and nurturing this, I lose it. I gotta keep it green for me. That's why they told me, like, keep a newcomer around. Newcomers, get that enthusiasm. You going to the meeting? Yeah. Yeah, let's go. You know why? When the fruit is ripe, what does the tree do with the ripe fruit? It drops it. It no longer has to be nourished by the roots, the foundation. I better stay green in this process. I better stay green in this process. Newcomers, just help me keep it green. Help me keep it green. Last thing I'm talking about, hey, man, wow, them lions, man. I like animal stuff. You know, I watch animals on the cable stuff. I like the nature stuff. You know, and there's lessons in all of that stuff you be watching.
So they got, you know, with they in Africa, and it's the big, you know, the Serengeti Plains, nice big sunny day. You know, the plains is like long, like forever. And they got these lions. King of beasts. Lions, when they get hungry, they gotta kill some to feast. They'll say my disease is trying to kill me. They'll tell me my disease is trying to kill me. But it'll be all right with me just being miserable and suffering and in pain. So like the lions get hungry and they see these zebras, man. These zebras is like beautiful. Big old pretty black and white animals, and they're just beautiful, and they're just playing with each other, running around and eating grass and having all, and it's fun. Having a ball. The lion say, psst, yo, yo, zebras. Psst, zebras. So they don't run up on the zebras. They inconspicuously ease over there by the zebras. We ain't chasing you, you know. We don't even see that you're there. But there's some zebras that have been in the pack for a long time that know what the lion will do. They get to running. And as the younger ones see the older ones run, they run with them. That's what we learn to do. Stay in the pack. So after they run down this way and the lions get kind of mad, and then, you know, they start chasing them a little bit and they pack in, so they run, they keep running the zebras like back and forth. You know, just running back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth like I got to make meetings day in and day out for years. They say meeting makers make it. Still make meetings. On a regular. So they run the zebras back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So one of them zebras say, yo, man, I'm tired of this stuff. What? They ain't going to bother me. I got it. That zebra leaves the pack. One of the bigger ones say, hey, woo-hoo, dinner! They pounced on that one, and they ate it. But all of the zebras that stayed in the pack are still in the pack. All the people that make meetings on a regular basis, talk about how they feel, work a program, still clean. Still showing up for life. It's important that we stay in the pack. Therapeutic value. Everything happens when I stay in the pack. I stay in the middle. If I'm in the middle, I can't. If I slip, you grab me. If I'm on the side, I fall by the wayside. I gotta keep coming. I gotta stay clean a day at a time. That's how we do this, day at a time. Last thing I want to say is this. I just want to see some evidence. You know, I got to know that this works. You talk about the therapeutic value. Therapeutic value means the healing process that we get from each other. Is there anybody in here that ever had somebody else in here help them stay clean? They tell us, nah, we ain't going to do that. They tell us, don't. If we don't stand for something, we fall for anything. So I want to see everybody who has ever had anybody in here help them stay clean to stand up. Yeah. Yeah. I'm Tony. I'm an addict. Stay clean.